Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Coming up, the Hawkeyes were on fire yesterday in Iowa City. Not one, but two classic NFL games filled with great plays and controversy. We'll talk about that and talk with Mike Halas of the Gazette. It's all coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Welcome in, Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, the main gym, 1600 AM, the North Gym, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Thank you very much for joining us here today as we kick off a new week. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer once again. And we appreciate you tuning in for the festivities here today. We've got a ton to talk about. We'll get your reactions on the basketball weekend that was Iowa and Iowa State coming up with victories. Iowa, a sizzling 68%, a Carver Hawkeye Arena record. Megan Gustafson wins another Big Ten Player of the Week and hits her first career three-pointer yesterday as well. But I have a feeling we got a lot of NFL talk to get to. And thanks to all the well-wishers out there who have asked, I am fine. Ready to go.
Good afternoon and good week to you. And Gustafson, eighth player of the week this season. And I've lost count how many in her career, but terrific, another terrific game. And, yeah, NFL front and center. There's no question about it.
Yeah, front and center. And it had everything you wanted. Sports is the greatest reality show that there ever is or ever will be. You had two games filled with amazing plays, good strategy, questionable strategy, and what makes it all go around is incredible, incredible controversy. And we'll talk about that with you out there. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Thanks so very much to everybody out there at Third Base. They are locally owned and operated, and when you're at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop and thank them and tell them that Mark, Scott, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. We have the text line open and available for you out there. The Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. Hertina Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall for over 70 years in downtown Iowa City. NFL football, your Super Bowl 53 will be the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots going at it in 13 days at whatever they call the place in Atlanta.
Yesterday, at the center of the controversy were two things, really. The pass interference non-call in the Rams-Saints game and a revisit of the overtime rules in the NFL. A lot of opinions being thrown out there on Twitter, Facebook, what have you. As far as the overtime goes, listen, I didn't have a dog in the hunt like you did yesterday. And I think the NFL overtime needs to be changed. To what? We'll offer some ideas on the poll question here in a minute. But in no other sport, Scott, does one team get a possession. You don't, in Major League Baseball, you don't see a game going to the 10th inning and the visiting team scores and the game's over. You don't see in basketball in overtime the first bucket wins. It's only in the NFL. And, I mean, even within the overtime rule, you have to score a touchdown if you possess the ball first. But yet if you get the ball second, like the Rams did, all you need to do is kick a field goal. I don't get that either. Credit to the Patriots. They were the better team. I told you, I didn't know how the Chiefs stayed in the game, actually. Look at the statistics, and they're so lopsided towards the Patriots. But as we've seen in many games, that's not the way things are decided. As far as the non-call on the pass interference, it was egregious. There's no question about it. there's no guarantee that the Saints would have scored a touchdown.
True.
Maybe a fumble, maybe an interception, maybe a couple of holding penalties, blah, blah, blah.
Although,
I mean, that.
Although, who knows what is called or not called, especially when you get into the playoffs.
That decreased the likelihood of the Saints scoring a touchdown, ultimately kicked a field goal. But if you're a Saints fan, you got to wonder why Sean Payton is passing the ball on first down in field goal territory and second down in field goal territory already. Could have milked that clock and given the Rams far fewer seconds than what they had. Poll question at KGYMradio.com. Go ahead and weigh in. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. How should the NFL handle ties? We give you four options. Adopt the college overtime rule, sudden death, play a time period, or keep the current system. What say you, Scott?
Well, I do have a dog in the hunt. But as you know, Mark, that was just yesterday. I have said tens of times on this program, and I have agreed with you, and it doesn't matter if it was yesterday or 4 years ago or whatever the case may be, the NFL overtime rule is broken. I'm not saying it should go to college, but... And it goes the same way. If the Chiefs had scored first, if they had won the coin toss and scored first, New England deserved to get the football to try to match it. I've said it before, and I'm not changing my tune just because it messed the Chiefs up or anything like that. But you're right. Patriots outplayed Kansas City. Mahomes kept the Chiefs in it. A Tom Brady interception kept the Chiefs in it a little bit. But, you get to the point in a coin toss, and you never get the ball.
Beyond that, I don't like ties in the regular season. You play to win the game and play until someone wins the game.
Thank you, Herm.
We got a lot of texts coming in.
A phone call to get to as well.
One of our favorite Saints fans wants to weigh in on things.
Yes, and... I think that, and the first person I thought of last night after watched the game with my son, and he drove down from Cedar Falls, and we're kind of dismayed. Nothing too major, but the first person outside family I thought of was this person.
Yeah, well, listen, Troy,
we could have had such a.
I just turned it off because it was too. Blatant of a call that you didn't get, okay? But let's get to the overtime rule.
Okay.
Now, if Kansas City would have won the toss and scored a touchdown and Tom Brady did not get a chance to touch the ball, then the rule would have been changed because when we played Minnesota and Brett Favre did not get a chance to touch the ball in overtime because that's the rule where we could kick a field goal and win the game. And that's what the Saints did in 2010, okay? So then right after that happened, they changed it. So I think if it was the reverse, then we wouldn't even have – the rule would have been changed for the Super Bowl if Tom Brady didn't get a chance to touch the ball.
I think you're right. I think you may be right.
Yeah, it is because it's just a scenario of what happened and who it was because they wanted Brett Favre to see what, even though he threw the interception across his chest, the NFL just like, oh, God, he didn't get a chance to touch the ball. So this is the way to rule. Who controls the NFL? Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, okay? What the deal? Those people changed that. Now, the thing that everybody's been talking about is that the play that Drew Brees threw to Mike Tomlinson was a bad pass, it stopped the clock. That does not matter to me because each individual play is what you do after a play, okay? Like, you think the Rams would have faked the punt if it was 13-13? No, because of the time of the game and what was going on, they faked it. Now, the play we ran, we did it four times to Kamara. We completed each one of them. So this time they did Tommy Lewis, and it was so blatant. It was just like when I first saw the play, I thought personal foul. He left his feet, he hit his helmet, and and it was just that.
So you're right.
That's just the whole thing. And, it's football. The tuck rule happened. It is what it is. You can't change it. But I think what bothers me the most is the legacy that changed with Drew Brees. You know, this is his opportunity. You know, I mean,
this might be it. Who knows?
Based on what?
Yeah. Who knows?
Who wins, how many times you get to a Super Bowl? So all in all, I'm good. I turned it off. You know, such is life.
Can we have a Saints Chiefs consolation game?
No, I don't believe in consolation games, Mark. You know that.
No, I worry about that. But you see, and your Kansas City Chiefs lost on a call that was made because the hand offside, okay?
Yeah,
he could have held that flag, you know, because it didn't give him an advantage with your hand being offside. So that's what happened. So next year, we'll just have our own Super Bowl, okay? Kansas City and the Saints, all right?
And in the meantime, Troy and I will be getting together with a support group.
Yeah, we're all good. Like I said, I don't let anything affect my happiness the second day. So
there you go. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Cajun Troy talking about her Saints and what could have been with the Saints and the Chiefs in a possible Super Bowl. A
lot of talk about the pass interference and whether all pass interference calls should be reviewed. I don't want that. I want the officials to make better calls.
But they're not going to.
Who made more mistakes yesterday? The officials, coaches, or players?
Wow.
Which group?
That's a good one. Well, players make mistakes in every game.
Yeah.
Coaches make some mistakes, and no one's human.
Not as glaring as that call. I get it.
Everyone is human, I should say. And it's just the refereeing has got to get better. That's all I'm going to say. Refereeing's got to get better for the Saints and for everybody else out there. 319-366-1600.
Let's go to the Hurtine and Stocker Jeweler text line, 6936. Change the NFL overtime like college, but back it up to the 45 or 50-yard line.
That's where college should be.
Paul in Mount Vernon, the Chiefs should hire Tony Romo because he predicted every play of the last two series for the Patriots. Romo's good.
He is good. I've really learned that first couple of weeks he was stepping all over Jim Nantz, mm-hmm. but he's gotten much better since then. So,
0255, hockey overtime is sudden victory. Wrestling, 1 minute sudden victory. Okay.
Point well taken.
Darren at 8092, I think the Saints are just getting their dose of karma. All Viking fans of 2009 will know what I'm talking about. Hashtag Bountygate. 2968, sweet karma action for the Saints. The 09 Vikings haven't forgotten.
A lot of bitter Viking fans out there. Hey, I can wait another 26 years for the Chiefs to get in the AFC Championship.
Nick, 3206, if New Orleans gets a first down, the Rams don't get the ball back in regulation. 6439, also endorsing the college rule starting at the 50-yard line.
For the NFL?
Yes.
Okay.
Bill at 55-17. If you don't want overtime, win it in regulation. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
The Chiefs had a chance. They took one shot at the end zone, but I believe that Andy Reid made the right call in going for the field goal there with 11 seconds remaining, because you cannot take a chance that you get tackled in the field of play. Or, oh, my gosh, that's a bad offseason.
Mm-hmm. Badger Mike, why didn't Reed call a timeout in overtime? Would have liked to see him use all of them. It's a do-or-die drive.
I would agree with at least one. The Patriots were terrific on third down yesterday. They were absolutely perfect. Hey, Tom Brady's Tom Brady for a reason. And he threw pinpoint passes. And I said from the start of the season to you here on the show that ultimately the Kansas City Chiefs defense was going to cost them. And it cost them. Dee Ford was offside, but I'm not going to take it out on Dee Ford because the Chiefs want to be where they were yesterday without Dee Ford. They couldn't get to Brady. The Patriots got to Mahomes yesterday.
Well, there were other calls along the way as well. If we're talking about officials, I thought Edelman's pass catch was clearly a fumble. But the boot said no. Dan and Swisher weighing in. I don't understand why officials don't throw more flags on plays that aren't a clear-cut penalty. They can always pick up the flag.
And do often. Often they do. 318 coming your way here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM as we take a look back at the two championship games in the National Football League and ask about overtime, ask about replaying of flags. Are there the question today more than overtime, just as much as overtime is, will you see reviews of penalties now in the National Football League? For me, it would be just as simple as not throwing a flag on every pass downfield. And I've said this also before, give it a 15-yard penalty. It should not be a questionable pass interference call that gives you 50 yards. That's just silly and ridiculous.
Agree.
Shouldn't change the outcome of things.
I would like to see the booth official or someone in wherever they're monitoring these games have the ability to communicate with that referee almost instantaneously on a call that was so obvious, like the one in the New Orleans-Los Angeles game.
Got there early, hit him in the head, and launched.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were 0-for-3 on that one. And I understand there aren't as many penalty calls in playoff games as there are during the regular season. But then it seems when one is called a penalty, there are dire circumstances and a lot of controversy that goes along with them.
Early results of our poll question in regards to the NFL overtime rule, 80% of you are saying adopt the college overtime rule. 20% say play a time period. Nobody wants to keep the current system, at least in our small sample size as of this moment.
At least early. At least the early votes are in. 319-366-1600. But you got the Patriots and you got the Rams. I think it's going to be a good Super Bowl. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you dare not even say that it's the last hurrah for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, because every time you start to do that, the Patriots get angry and then they start to win a little bit more. The Rams built their team for this particular season with bringing in Sue, with bringing in Peters, with bringing in all of the personnel that they did. There's talk about the Chiefs maybe doing that next year because the Chiefs have a ton of cap room. You got to find some defensive people and you got to get out of that 3-4 scheme they have right now. I'm just going to say that.
The text line 4570. Settle the overtime by picking up a 10-pin. Hashtag bowling night in America.
Oh, please, let's not bring 10-pins into it. Let's not bring 10-pins into it.
98-42, Tom Brady is the NFL's golden boy. You touch him with one finger, you get a flag.
Happened once yesterday. That could have been reviewed.
Gage and Troy, tell Viking fans they will never win a Super Bowl with Cousins.
319-366-1600. Let's go to Mike because he's got the differing opinion. He's got that overtime is fine. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Well, I don't think the overtime is fine. I just think, you know, both teams should get a chance to possess the ball. And I don't think the college is right, you know, moving it to the 30-yard line. So can we just go where the team, you know, everybody gets a chance to have the ball? As a Packers fan, I certainly been on the wrong side of, you know, Aaron Rodgers not getting to touch the ball, and I just think it would be a better product. You don't need to cut the field in half or anything like that, but, you know, you play all that, the 16 games and then a couple playoff games, then, you know, I don't think it's a good product or a good way to end, and I'll hang up and see what you guys got to say.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
I kind of agree with Mike. You play 60 minutes in a really precious game. It's to go to the Super Bowl. And obviously, both teams tied in both games after regulation. Find a way to settle it equitably.
Rock, paper, scissors? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm using humor to try to get myself through.
Who could
this.
Have picked up a 10-pin, Brady or Mahomes?
Brady probably.
Probably Brady.
He can do everything else. Although I'm not putting it by Patrick. I think he could have been all right. Great fourth quarter in that game, though. That was one of the best quarters you're going to see as far as the National Football League is concerned. With everything that went on, with lead changes and just back and forth, it was fun.
Here's an idea, 27-11. Keep the overtime exactly the way it is, except change it from a coin flip to the team with the best record gets the ball first. And what if they have the same record?
You go through our list of tiebreakers at that point. I have no problem with a coin flip, but like I said, NFL MVP didn't touch the ball yesterday in overtime.
That's right.
So 319-366-1600. More on that. We're going to take a break, come back. There is more to talk about. Iowa shooting 68% yesterday against the Fighting Illini of Illinois. Iowa State on Big Monday tonight against the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll talk about college basketball and a little bit more about the NFL. Mike Kloss is going to join us as well. Stay tuned. More to come. Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Want to use your unique skill set to solve real-world technological problems? Apply at Herzog. Herzog is a family-owned railroad services provider with a growing presence in eastern Iowa. We're in a prime position to implement new safety technology thanks to our unique expertise in both the rail and software industries. Demand for our services continues to grow, so we need to open a larger office in Cedar Rapids and bring on highly skilled problem solvers. Is that you? Great. Apply at Herzog.com/careers.
Winning teams have one thing in common, a great lineup you can count on to deliver. It's the same with KGYM and Smart FM. When you need solid, smart sports talk, your starting lineup on the Gym Class is Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And when you're looking for smart rock, Smart FM features an all-star lineup of Just John, Greg, Rick, Glenn, and Cecily. Smart sports on KGYM and smart rock on Smart FM. A solid lineup to get you through every season.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Back with you on the Gym Class and KGYM Monday edition coming your way. Big Monday tonight from Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence. Iowa State and Kansas. Can Iowa State complete the regular season sweep of the Jayhawks and move into first place? There's a log jam in the Big 12 right now. I know each team can play on a given night really well, but there's not a dominating team in the Big 12 this year, and that includes the Kansas Jayhawks now with the injury to the big man. And it's a log jam there.
How did West Virginia beat Kansas?
Kansas had a big lead in that game. We were watching that a little bit on Saturday down at the U.S. Cellular Center on Tony Rowe's computer at the end. And West Virginia is not a good team this year. And I don't know how they came back from double digits to beat Kansas. We've been talking about the NFL. We're going to get to some college basketball here as well. But let's go to Cale and Marion for his thoughts about NFL overtime. Cale, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. Dallas, how are you?
Good.
Hey, in terms of the overtime rule, like before you went to break, you said the MVP of the year didn't get it. Are we more upset about who didn't get the ball or are we more upset about the rule? Because, for example, I'm a Bears fan. If Trubisky wouldn't have got the ball, would anybody have cared?
No.
So I'll hang up and let you guys go.
Appreciate it, Kale. Sorry, Mark. And sorry, Kale, about that. But
just named the Pro Bowl roster, by the way.
I think somebody, one of our earlier folks said, what would have happened if Tom Brady didn't get the ball?
Mm-hmm.
People would be screaming bloody murder around the country today.
That was Cajun Troy.
Yeah, thank you. And if Brady didn't get the ball, like Troy said, I think the rule would be changed before the Super Bowl. Mahomes is good, but he's not up to that point yet. And it shouldn't come down to one person. I understand. I'm being a little bit facetious as far as that is concerned. But I don't know. I don't know.
It's more about the teams than the individuals.
Although the quarterback position is the best position, the most important position in any sport, period. And, yeah. So, yeah, you're right. It shouldn't come down to the quarterbacks. It should come down to the teams. But I was kind of adding to the whole proposition right there. Thanks for the call, Kale. Appreciate it. Hawkeyes win yesterday over Illinois with relative ease at Carver Hawkeye. And if you shoot 15 out of 21 from three-point range, I believe it was 15 out of 21, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. And Iowa lit it up to the tune of 68% yesterday against an Illinois team that I didn't think was playing that bad a defense. Just Iowa hit shots yesterday. And this is a team that's playing pretty well right now.
It was uncanny shooting. There's no question about it. Between Joe Wieskamp, who's the Big Ten freshman of the week, Isaiah Moss
has been really good the last
really
two or three
been.
Weeks.
Yeah. Right on down the line. You're not going to see that a night in and night out as much as you'd like to. It was kind of an outlier. But a very good game for Iowa. And, again, good defense for the most part, especially in the first half. So you're going to need every bit of that come Thursday when Michigan State comes calling at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
You win if you're Iowa by double digits and Tyler Cook takes two shots. That's getting things done.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have to sweat about it either. Iowa now 5-3. They've won five in a row. And like you said, schedule now. Iowa did what they had to do in that portion of the schedule with teams in the second division. Check that off the list. Now, the next two home games are the top two teams in the league with Michigan and Michigan State, starting with the Spartans on Thursday.
Next few games, Michigan State on Thursday, then Sunday at Minnesota. Next week on Friday night, Scott.
Love that.
Michigan plays at Iowa. And then the following week, it's a game at Indiana and home against Northwestern. Right now, Iowa, six home games left. Six road games left.
You split them. 11-9?
11-9.
11-9. Yeah. Get you in. I don't know about what the seed would be. Bracketology, you can take a look at that every day and check on it and see how it's playing out for your favorite team out there. But it's going to get Iowa probably no worse than, what, a 9, you would think?
I think higher than that.
Like an 8 or a 7? Or is that lower? Or higher, like 11 or 12. It's all a matter of semantics when you're talking about that out there. But Hawkeyes with the easy win yesterday in the Big Ten. We mentioned Iowa State going at it tonight as they will play Kansas. We got a lot to talk about with Mike Colas of the Gazette. We're going to talk with him coming up next. Not only college basketball, we'll ask him about the NFL. He was also there on Saturday for the big shootout at the U.S. Cellular Center where you had DJ Carton, who put on a show. Patrick McCaffrey was outstanding. The two bigs for Oskaloosa. Other than missed free throws and whatnot, what a win by Jefferson.
How about Jefferson, yeah.
Beating the team with the 7-footer and the 6'10 guy with no one over, one no. guy over 6'2 for the Jayhawks. They got the job done late Saturday night. In the nightcap over there. We'll talk all about that and more with Mike Colas when we come back here on KGYM.
Welcome back to Sports View. Next topic. Is it really all about power? Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for some straight talk.
I'm ready for it.
You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your guy smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Back with you in the gym class at KGYM on this very, very busy Monday. We got more local programming coming your way. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn follows us from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. NBA basketball in this Martin Luther King day today as well. That comes up at 9 o'clock. It's a late night game. The LeBron-less Lakers will take on the Golden State Warriors.
And Lonzo Ball-less.
Lonzo, yes. He's not in there anymore either, is he? He's going to be out for a month at least, and that will be at 9 o'clock tonight, starting on the FMs. AM will join it after the Iowa State game. But Martin Luther King Day basketball for you right here on KGYM. Mike Halas set to join us right now. Follow him on Twitter at Halas. Read his terrific stuff at thegazette.com as he joins us on Mondays here on the program. And I don't even know where to begin here, Mike. You got the NFL. You've got Iowa shooting 68%. Got to see a star-studded high school lineup on Saturday. It was a pretty fun weekend.
Yeah, you know, I think the narrative has changed quite a bit about the Iowa men's basketball team, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I was in West Lafayette on this show 4 weeks ago, roughly, and I was not optimistic about, you know, the future of the season, and that was before they got pummeled by Purdue. And now here they are with 5 straight wins after that defeat, and they look like a basketball team, you know, pretty formidable in many ways. So there should be a lesson there for all of us, but of course it's one that we will never heed. We'll continue to make knee-jerk reactions, and we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, I think the next maybe handful of games might go a long way in terms of, you know, what the future might hold for Iowa. You got Michigan State on Thursday, and a lot of people can't wait for that game. Obviously, Iowa pummeled at Michigan State.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a different world. It's your home court. The thing is, Michigan State is the best team in the conference, I think. Look, the fact that they're unbeaten and they've won 19 straight Big Ten games makes that not much of an opinion. But I look at all 14 teams, and Michigan State's got, you know, it's got NBA players. It's got the league's best point guard. It may have the best power forward. it's just it's a really good team. Mm-hmm. It's first in the league in all sorts of statistics, offensive and defensive. I mean, it's, I think, second or third in the country in rebound margin, and it's very high in scoring margin. And on down the line, it's a good team. Cassius Winston, the point guard, had 12 assists against Iowa. Nick Ward, the power forward I mentioned, he averages like 16 points and only plays 23 minutes a game. And he went 10 for 10 against Iowa. He showed that shots 2 feet from the basket and closer are high percentage shots. And he had his weight in the paint against the Hawkeyes that night. So Iowa's got to, you know, be a lot better in several areas. But, you know, once it's on your home floor and it's a different deal. Plus, Michigan State is in the midst of a really tough stretch of games. They won at Nebraska last Thursday, a hard-fought game. Great game. They play Maryland at home tonight. Maryland has been crazy good lately. And then they'll come to Carver with just 2 days in between to prepare for that. And they won't have a starting guard in all likelihood. Joshua Langford's been out since New Year's with a bad foot. He had 14 points against Iowa. So I think it's good. I would call that game a 50-50 right now.
The big difference, and I think you'll agree, Mike, between now and that game in early December in East Lansing is Iowa's defense.
Yeah. And, you know, well, I think that, yeah, that is the big difference. You know, the game looks so much different when you shoot the ball well. In the last two games, Iowa's been, you know, they shot 50% at Penn State and had to. And then yesterday was just bananas, you know, 68%. That's a once-in-a-generation type number, really.
A student made a half-court shot. It was so good.
Yeah, you know, I was beginning to think that from my seat on press row, I could have thrown one in. Maybe a bridge too far on that one, but yeah, I mean, look, you're not going to get 68%, but they only shot 32% at Michigan State, so you got to figure they'll do better than that, and you know they've got to keep the rebounding numbers close. And after that, you can't let Nick Ward get the ball all night long where he wants it, and that goes for his pal on the front line, Kenny Goins, who's, I think he's good for 10 rebounds a game. So there's just, it's one of those teams where you got to pick your poison, but Illinois' coach Brad Underwood said the same thing about Iowa yesterday.
Yeah. You ask people who are Iowa basketball fans, you're going to get 2 shots from Tyler Cook in a basketball game, and you're going to win by almost 20. what do you think the response would be?
Well, you have to say, who are you playing? And if they said Illinois, it's like, oh, I guess that's possible. The thing is, Cook had 7 rebounds and 7 points and played enough to shake off the rust after missing a game and 2 games out of the last 3. So that was a good thing for Iowa. It was more important that he just got in a game. So now, you know, 4 days later, they'll play Michigan State, and presumably he'll be, you know, close to himself. But that was just, you know, what the story of that game to me was Joe Wieskamp yesterday. The perfect day shooting is, you know, that's just one of those things. You may never see that again, although with him I wouldn't rule it out. But it's the fact that, you know, we are almost forgetting already that he's a first-year player, and here he is scoring 24 points in a Big Ten game. And that's not common. You know, I'm sure that Cook and Bohannon both did it at some point 2 years ago. I'd have to go back and look. But it's an uncommon thing, and he scored 24 twice this season, and he's knocked on the door on other occasions. And if you had to describe Wieskamp, you wouldn't say scorer. You'd say player, because he's rebounded well. I think he averages about 6 boards a game. He defends well, and he makes good decisions. And it's like, okay, this is just the first part of his career. And, you know, we talked way back in early November when he got off to a great start, and it's like, well, the hype train's begun. Well, it's not hype if there's something behind it. And I think with this guy, there's something behind it.
6439 on the text line. Illinois is terrible. Yeah, but the same Illinois team that waxed Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, the thing in college basketball is if you let teams that aren't doing well up off the floor, you can get burned. And the trick is to, you know, get your foot on their throats and keep them there. That's what good teams do. You know, Penn State last week, they threw everything but the kitchen sink at Iowa. And if that game had been last year, Penn State would have won that game by double digits.
Easily.
Yeah. And so this year's Iowa's team, a year older, a year wiser, a year tougher, you name it, didn't let that happen. Well, this Illinois game, yeah, it's a team with two freshmen, two sophomores in the starting lineup. And it's been a year-long struggle with the exception of last week against Minnesota when they just, you know, went cuckoo, did everything right. They shot 56 or 57%, scored 95 points. But you have a choice. Do you just sleepwalk through that game and hope for the best, or do you go out and, you know, take it to them? And I always chose to do the latter.
And now the Hawkeyes are in good, solid position at 5-3. They did what they had to do during that, I guess you could say, lull in the schedule, and that was get victories and pile up victories. They got five in a row. Now things turn quite a bit starting on Thursday, and then on Sunday with a trip to Minnesota, and then Michigan coming in for a lovely Friday evening game. But yeah, it's now you just can't have that elongated losing streak to give people a little bit of pause before March rolls around.
Right. Right. I mean, look, if you would have said that you needed 4 out of 5, I think, 5 games ago. And that included winning at Northwestern and Penn State. Neither one of those teams is particularly good, but those are games that good teams win, you know. Okay, I'm repeating myself on that deal, but you didn't look at either one as a gimme, and Iowa in Las Vegas was an underdog in both of those games going in. And then you had Nebraska and Ohio State at home, and Nebraska is going to be a first division team in the conference, I believe, if they don't wear their starters down to nubs. Ohio State came in ranked, and Iowa sort of took the wind out of their sails, and Ohio State's fallen down hard since then, but Iowa started that. So you're looking at a Hawkeyes team, and you're thinking, okay, this looks like it might be a first division team. Well, can it be more than that? That's what these next three games are. If you beat Michigan State Thursday night, that's one of those things that gives your all those, you know, the NETs or whatever they're using now and the Sagarins and all that stuff, you're already in the 20s and 30s in those polls. But if you beat Michigan State, that's one of those deals that, you know, come March, that's like one of the very first things they'll point at.
True.
Likewise, Michigan next week. In between that is one of those tricky road games, Minnesota, another team that's gone sour here in the last few games, after looking pretty good. But if you get on their home court, it's a game that, you know, scares you. If you win that game, you've done something. So if you can get 2 out of the next 3 somehow, I think the national view of your program changes. But 2 out of 3 of those 3 games is going to be really hard to do.
4-way tie for the lead in the Big 12, as you know, Mike. And tonight it's Iowa State at Kansas. Iowa State got the first run. Inexplicably, Kansas lost to West Virginia over the weekend. This is a pretty good opportunity for the Cyclones.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll say it. If Iowa State wins tonight, I would give Iowa State the best chance of any team in that conference to finish in first place.
Mm-hmm.
Big if. Tough place to play. Been saying that for, you know, as long as there's been college basketball. It's still the truth.
11-0 there this year.
Yeah, and that game, they're just probably mad as hornets down there about the way they lost that game at West Virginia. That was a game they should have won. It got away from them in the last minute. And it was, I know Kansas is young, but it was so un-Kansas-like to see them lose that way. It's one thing to lose on the road. It can happen anytime, anywhere in the Big 12, but the way they kind of just, you know, kicked it away was, that's interesting, you know. Iowa State had its dip the week before last, dropping two games that they could have won. Some would even say should have. Came back nice. I mean, the win at Texas Tech was great. And then they came home and against Oklahoma State, I didn't think that they were all that impressive, but they grinded out a 13-point win, which, you know, it's a mark of a good team. You don't play your best game, but you still win without breaking into flop sweat in the last few minutes.
I think the thing about – go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just say if they win tonight, then, you know, you look at them differently.
The thing about Kansas, and I'm playing off a Vahe Gregorian piece that appeared in the Gazette, is they don't have that spectacular point guard to lean on, at least not right now.
Yeah, and that's what got them beat at Kansas, I think, as much as anything. You know, no pity from anywhere.
No.
No pity from anywhere. All the talent they've had under Bill Self, just a ridiculous array of talent, and championship after championship after championship. It's a very tiresome thing, in my opinion.
Mm.
I think it's shared just about everywhere in Big 12 country except the state of Kansas. And there are probably a lot of people around the country who would enjoy it very much if Iowa State could beat them again.
Yeah. Mike, I wanted to ask you, were at the U.S. Cellular Center Saturday. You didn't get a chance to see DJ Carton. He was terrific. He's going to be stepping in Columbus next year and be a big help to Ohio State. But you got to see the rest of the talent that was assembled there on Saturday. And Patrick McCaffrey played a heck of a game.
Yeah, they did. They couldn't do a thing with him, Kennedy, that is. Just, you know, they almost looked like he scored at will.
At 32, I think it was.
Yeah, and it was an easy 32. It just piled up, and you didn't even realize it almost. He's a good player. He's a four-star player. That's really all you need to say. I mean, forget his last name. He's a player.
And then Xavier Foster afterwards, I think a lot of people wanted to see just take a look at him. Seven-footer doesn't happen very often. You got a four or even a five-star guy in the state of Iowa, but he's an interesting player. I will say that because he goes outside, shot blocker extraordinaire. Kind of when he goes down on the post, you know they're going to throw an alley-oop to him, but everyone got a chance to see him anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a junior, and it's hard. I see college coach. I mean, Fran McCaffrey watched this game after the Iowa City West game Saturday night. And I was curious, wondering what was going through McCaffrey's head watching him, if he thought, I would change this, I'll change that. You know, he's not going to be doing that in college. He will be doing this. He's got a lot of basketball, obviously, to learn. He's a high school junior, but, you know, the cliche, you can't teach 7 foot. But I walked away from that game thinking if I was Cedar Rapids Jefferson, I'd be on cloud nine, man, because what was their tallest player, 6'1", 6'2"?
6'2" in the starting lineup, and then they had a 6'4 kid come off the bench.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
6'4". There's no way I don't care if Oskaloosa put three folding chairs out there with Xavier Foster and Cole Henry, a 6'10 kid who's going to play at Northern Iowa next year, they should have won that game. And Jefferson didn't buckle at all. And Willie Guy was great.
Yes,
you know,
he was.
He just coolly made shot after shot, and he wasn't the only Jayhawk who did. number one, help me with his name, Myborg.
Oh, Ozzie Myborg, yep.
Yeah, he was great, too. And Jeff just refused to be intimidated by those two giants, and that was, I thought that was pretty good.
Some fun stuff. Should we change NFL overtime before we go?
I don't care. I thought those games were lousy.
You were watching golf.
No, right. My thoughts are, you know, and I think I've said it here before, but as long as nobody gets hurt, I love chaos. And that was chaos. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Yes, well put. Well put.
I mean, I listened on satellite radio. I was driving back from Iowa City, and I was listening to the tail end of the first game. And I was going back and forth between the Saints broadcast and the Rams broadcast. And it was, I don't know how these things work, but the Rams broadcast was about 45 seconds ahead. So I got to hear the game-winning kick twice. And after I heard the Rams guy go nuts, then I immediately switched over to the Saints while they're lining up for this field goal. And the dejection, the devastation. I got nothing against the Saints, but hearing their announcers, NFL radio announcers are the biggest homers in sports, even worse than college guys, if you can believe that. And the devastation was delightful. I mean, you would have thought that they were, if you're a Saints fan, you're probably pretty irritated with me right now. But if the roles had been reversed, I would have loved it just as much.
I understand. Hey, Mike, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay.
Michael Oss. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. Back with more after this.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at Dupaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through Dupaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that Dupaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
All across Iowa, you might notice people really smiling.
Good hit, way to go!
Really laughing. Really living.
So good to see you, Grandma.
That's because more Iowans choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health insurance. Our members know they can count on us to be with them when they need us most. Having that peace of mind gives them the freedom to enjoy every moment life gives them to help them live to the fullest. So it's no wonder Wellmark members smile so much. Learn more at Wellmark.com.
Get out of the cold and warm up with the Cedar Rapids Colonel's annual Hot Stove Banquet. Wednesday, January 23rd, join the Colonel's at East Bank Venue and Lounge in downtown Cedar Rapids. Enjoy dinner, a silent auction, and the Minnesota Twins Winter Caravan, which will be emceed by Twins radio broadcaster Corey Provis and include Twins Minor League Player of the Year Alex Kirilloff. The Colonel's 1994 Midwest League Championship team will also be honored. Tickets are $50, and all proceeds will benefit the Colonel's Take the Lead Community Initiative Program and the Colonel's Foundation. Get your tickets now at colonels.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Back in the gym class on KGYM as we wrap things up. Tomorrow, John Bonacamp of the Burlington Hawkeye to join us to talk a little Hawkeye basketball, and KJ Pilcher to talk wrestling coming up tomorrow. Who won the Emil's Hideaway pick six this week?
Well, the benefactor was Casey in Cedar Rapids. He won a $30 gift card to Emo's Hideaway because he selected me.
You!
I know it's hard to believe after some dreadful weeks, but Kyle and I tied at 4-2, and Kyle, you can't go over the number. That's I won the tiebreaker.
I know. I didn't know that that was the rule until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so I'm still adjusting my tiebreakers accordingly.
We may have a debate on that rule after going into next season. I don't know. You were closer than I was.
Is
but
it
you
reviewable?
Went over.
No, it's not reviewable. Not reviewable. Gym class gained a little bit, right?
Yep, we were 10-8 to 8-10 for the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, so we're up 3 now.
Who knows what we're going to be picking this week?
Oh, gosh.
It could be anything. This is the wild card week for this Friday.
NHL and Ivy League basketball.
I love it. Give me some Ivy League basketball. Give me some MEAC basketball. MEACtion. We can do it. That'll be coming up on Friday. John Bonenkamp and KJ Pilcher will be coming up tomorrow. Coming up next, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More about the National Football League, more about some basketball as well. Iowa State, Kansas tonight at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.